The Sand Geeks. We are the Sand Geeks.
Hello, geeks. A very warm welcome to episode 93 of the Sand Geeks podcast, fast approaching that magical 100. As you know, we are proudly sponsored by Kajal Perfumes, who you can find at kajalperfumes.com. To make it easy, we've dropped a link in our Facebook group. You can use that, go to their website, and you can get a cheeky little bit of 10% discount if you use code GEEKS10. That's GEEKS10. And make sure that you enter the giveaway as well. You can enter the Kajal giveaway to win either a bottle or a discovery kit by going to the Kajal Perfumes Instagram page, finding the Scent Geeks post and just reading the instructions on there. Basically, just doing a little bit of sharing, a little bit of tagging, and you're in with a shout to win some cool prizes. Right, with that said, I would like to introduce not one, but two distinguished podcast hosts. Because, as usual, I have Steve from Frags to Riches. Hello, Steve.
Hello.
You all right?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. Who else you got, Chris? Who else you got?
Well, here we go. I'm super excited because it's one of my best friends. It's George the Fragrance Apprentice. Can you believe it? George, hello.
Good evening. It's a pleasure to be here.
Good. Well, I'm glad. Maybe you might not be saying that by the end of the podcast, but after we've roasted you for an hour, but we'll see.
I knew that there was an ulterior motive to this podcast, Chris.
George, how are you doing? How's your week been? Have you had a good week?
It's been good, you know. A lot going on, doing a lot of different videos. Just good. Life is good, I'd say.
Good.
Is this the second podcast you've done in as many weeks?
I feel like we
need to address the elephant in the room that we're like sloppy seconds, aren't we? I feel.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd say we're the only one that matters. Really.
Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness!
Shots fired!
Sorry, boys.
Oh my god! Well, I just the Clone Podcast reached out to me, and I just thought, oh well, I'll do that. That's more my league.
Well, and you did state it was the best podcast, but what I would like to know is we've not booked you on the back of that. We didn't go, oh shit, let's get George.
That's exactly
we wanted
what's
you
happened,
age
yeah.
No, we wanted you ages ago, and yeah. I think we did ask you, but there was couple of times. I think there was one time when you were a bit poorly, obviously you were, so I don't think that happened, and then another time when you, I think you were a bit of a hiatus. So we have wanted you for a long time. It's not for the want of trying.
You know, something it's lovely to feel wanted, you know, finally after all these years, so I appreciate that. I did actually say on the Clone podcast that you hadn't invited me, but that wasn't true. I just thought it was you know what, in my mind I just thought it was a far funnier thing to say that my best friend
him. That's what you thought.
Yeah. I didn't even know that you could swear on this podcast. What a revolution.
It's mainly
right.
me, to be honest.
Okay, yeah. Right. Well, no, I just thought to myself it would be a funnier story if Chris just hadn't, like, my best friend hadn't invited me on his podcast. I just thought that was a lot funnier. But, well, for a long time, the special guest star wasn't a thing. And if I'm honest, I didn't think that you two needed special guests because you two just are fine on your own, and I didn't want to sort of overcrowd it. But now here
we're
I am
bored
going
of each other. I think.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So you invited me, and so good. But two wonderful podcasts that I've been on. I don't know, those Cologne podcast guys. They were great. They're lovely lads.
Yeah.
Absolutely lovely.
We shouted them out a couple of weeks ago. We actually shouted them out, and interestingly, there's a few. I got tagged by somebody on Instagram and in the Facebook group, I think, saying that they've listened to that podcast because we shouted them out, which is really nice, and then they really enjoyed it actually. So yeah, no, but we've got love for those guys. It's fine.
I love that podcast. It's a brilliant podcast. Really well put together. Slightly different.
They're going to go far, I think. Yeah,
I think so. They've got great Great voices for the podcast, I think. I love listening to the sound. Both got nice, rich voices, but in different ways. So shout out to those guys. So, Steve, I also need to ask you, how are you doing? And have you had a good week? I feel like both our voices are somewhat improved this week from last week.
A little bit better. A little bit better, aren't they? Well, yeah. I've been all right. I've been busy. I was away for a couple of nights this week at a conference for work. And then, obviously, there was a little bit of drama, wasn't there? Because I got a ping to say that on Saturday night out that we had out that there was somebody nearby that had tested positive, so then I had to go off and get tested, but it was all negative, so it's all good. But so other than that, not too bad this week, not too bad. Traveling from work. What about you? You've not said about your week?
No, it's been a good week for me as well. Same old, really. Busy, not enough time for everything. Had a nice weekend. Good day today, actually. We went out and did a bit of orienteering in this lovely autumnal place not far from
lovely.
Us. And then this afternoon we went to the cinema to watch Ron's Gone Wrong.
That's the one I saw the other week.
Did you? Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
And then we went. It's the kind of like it's a multiplex deal with a few restaurants. So we've just been for dinner in a restaurant after the cinema, and I love that. I love doing that. For me, that is one of the best family times because I love movies and. Yeah. That is something I used to do as a kid. I used to go with my family when the multiplex nearest to us, which was in Bury, first opened. We used to go for a pizza, go to the movies, and I loved it. It was such a magical evening. So I love doing that with my family.
I went to the cinema today, actually. I took my boy to see the new Boss June? Baby movie. Boss
oh,
Baby.
That was, yeah. Yeah, yeah that Boss was one Baby of our too, options. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I saw June in the week. George, have you seen June yet?
No, I want to read the book first.
Good luck with that.
I know.
I mean, this guy's far too highbrow for this podcast, is one.
I know. Well, I've got it, and I've always wanted to do it.
But I bet it's a great read. I hear brilliant. It's like Lord of the Rings status, isn't it? It's
So has the film got? Has it done well? Has it had good reviews? Did you like it?
I loved it. It's an amazing. Oh, the imagery. And the fact that it's Denis Villeneuve, so he just lets his films really breathe. It's the guy that did Blade Runner 2049, Arrival.
Yeah, he's the right choice to be doing that.
He's not put a foot wrong in his directing career yet. And it looked phenomenal. And the world building was incredible. Like the sound, I think you'll appreciate the sound, George, when you watch it. Because the sound of some of the people when they talk and the machinery, it's just like... It looks epic, but it sounds epic. It sounds like a proper, real world. So that was something I was massively impressed with.
Well,
it was a...
Sorry.
It's all right.
Sorry to interrupt, but Hans Zimmer turned down Tenet to do the soundtrack to Dune.
Right.
Because he believed in it so much.
Right, I can believe that.
Yeah, and Tenet kind of, I think, suffered a little bit because Hans Zimmer wasn't there. Because, of course, Zimmer usually works with Nolan, but he wanted to do Dune. So, I don't know, I'm really intrigued. And the original film, which starred, of all people, Patrick Stewart in the 80s, the original Dune.
Oh, yeah, Sting.
And Sting, like what a wild cast.
Yeah.
But that kind of put me off as well, because I think that from what I've heard, Dune is just such a hard thing to adapt. It sounds as though they got it right.
Sounds like it, and they've greenlit part two now as well. It was dependent on the box office. It's had a good opening, so part two apparently is coming in a couple of years. Woo-hoo!
Hopefully I'll have read the book by then.
You've got an opportunity, haven't you? Right, boys, okay, let's sort of get focused on what we're here for, and that's fragrance. So where shall we begin? Shall we do? Shall we jump into a little bit of Podmin, Steve? Because it's been a bit of. Oh, we don't call it that anymore, do we? But Kofis.
No, not called that for a while. Yeah. Well, I was wondering if we should. We could do the Kofis actually. Yeah, let's do Kofis. So everybody knows the score now. If you go to ko-fi.com/ascentgeeks or one word, you can buy us a coffee just to say thanks, really, because you know it's free, isn't it? Free podcast. Give a little back. Mm-hmm. So Melissa has done that. Big love to Melissa. She's one of the original. Followers of our podcast, and in the Facebook group she's actually got a little tag after her name as like one of the original members of the Facebook
special
group.
Special.
Yeah, she is special. So she said, it's been a while since I've donated, but I'm still listening every week and enjoying the banter between you guys. So shout out to Melly on that one. TJ also has bought us a coffee. I mentioned TJ a few weeks ago when we were talking about, this might get controversial actually, because we were talking about Le Parfum, the Lenouille de L'Homme Le Parfum version, which you love, George.
Mm.
and I wasn't a fan of. And I sort of discussed that. I discussed that potentially that batch, that bottle that I got might have gone off or something. But TJ actually messaged me after that because he was the one that sent it to me. And he said that he bought, that was a legit bottle he bought from like Debenhams or a department store, and it never smelled any different to him from the day he got it. So I think it's just one of those subjective things, each to their own. Well,
it's interesting because I saw that review and I did get it, and because you said that it was very shower gel-like. And when I smelt it, I went, oh, actually, I totally see where Steve's coming from. But I do get this kind of like, you're having a bath, you're having a bubble bath, and you're eating chocolate fudge brownie, Ben and Jerry's ice cream. And I do actually get that kind of chocolatey thing. But no, actually, I really liked your review and I appreciated your review. And it actually gave me a different spin on Le Parfum. Oh, and I still love it. Still think it's great. But I did see where you were coming from.
Oh, cool. Thank you. Actually, I think there's a question that one of our audience members has asked you about, like the difference in opinions, like some fragrances that you like and Chris doesn't and vice versa. So we'll get to that later, actually. Yeah, so yeah, there's a topic we can discuss later about the difference in opinions. Anyway, TJ says, listen to the story about Merseyscents had me in stitches on the way back from the school run yesterday. Me and my friends did exactly the same on a stag do in Bournemouth several years ago. So brought back some memories. Loving the show as ever. Keep going, lads. So big shout out to TJ. Thank you.
Thank you, TJ.
There's been a bit of activity in the Facebook group as well, so shall we shout some people out there?
Yeah, there has. Do we want to run through what we've all been wearing this week, or should we?
Oh yeah, let's do that. Let's talk
about some fragrances.
Yeah, it's a rare thing on this podcast.
George, what have you been spraying on yourself this week?
I am having quite the affair with Vulgari Man in Black.
Ooh,
that is absolutely my jam right now.
It's beautiful.
It's ridiculous. Ombre Leather and Vulgari Man in Black are sort of duking it out of what's going to be my signature scent right now for the autumn. And I can't decide because Ombre Leather, I mean, you introduced me to Ombre Leather, Chris, properly.
Yeah, I remember.
And I even said in that 1 hour long epic video that I can't believe that people actually sat through. and I actually said that, like, the Ombre Leather was kind of like a fragrance that I thought was maybe not necessarily like good enough for an eccentric bloke such as myself, and was more for well-rounded human individuals like you, Chris. But then I actually got to know you, and I thought, oh, well, it's an absolute fucking free-for-all now. Ombre Leather, Vulgari Man in Black. What else I have...
George, have you tried any of the Man in Black flankers out of interest?
What, like Cologne and Black Orient?
There's Black Orient, which you might like, but then also the Essence one as well. It's got the Essence one's got that sort of chocolatey vibe that you mentioned earlier from Le Parfum. It's kind of got this chocolatey note to it, which I think you might like.
Well, in general, the Vulgari Man line to me is one of the greatest lines in fragrance, and so diverse and so has a lot of variety. But Black Orient is great, but it just doesn't work for my taste. I mean, there are people, whenever I mention Vulgari Man in Black, people are like, Black Orient's better. And I'm like, no, I get that you like that and that's cool, but it just doesn't quite work for me. The cologne's lovely. I just don't know when to wear that, you know?
Oh, I love the cologne. Absolutely love it.
Yeah.
I sort of spring, summertime for me. It's kind of like a sort of warmer version, I think, of Man in Black. That's how I think of it.
That could work. And Bleu de Chanel Parfum, I just love that. Just think it's so good.
It's great. So good. I think we all love that, don't we?
Yeah.
It's a great release. Yeah.
How about you, Steve? What have you been rocking this week?
Let me think. I made an inadvertent discovery earlier this week when I sort of wore a scent of the day. I actually had a shower and then clearly I didn't wash myself very well because I could still smell the... Like, I might have been that I put on... like a jumper or something that I'd worn previously, but I remember basically I could smell the two fragrances and it worked really well, and the combination was Boss Bottle Tonic with Prada L'Homme. Basically Boss Bottle Tonic with a bit of iris works really well, I discovered. Yeah, that looked, it's just like, it's lovely. It's like a bit of Boss Bottled, like the tonic, a bit lighter with some iris in it. That's like a really nice combo. So yeah,
Hugo Boss, take notes.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. They'll bring out a flanker. Yeah.
Makes you wonder what amazing undiscovered gems we all might have in our collections if we just started combining a few more together and experimenting a little bit.
If we all stopped washing our clothes.
Yeah.
It's like that woman I sent you that video of, Chris, from TikTok.
Oh, God, she had about 10...
seven or eight fragrances, most of which she hated. I'll share that in the Facebook group, I think, actually. I'll send it to you, George, actually, just afterwards for reference. But she's going out for the evening and she's like, oh, I'm going for boss bitch vibe. So this is what I wear. And she literally just keeps... like every time you think she stopped, she reaches for another fragrance and just puts it on.
Are you sure
like,
this wasn't Michelle from Curly Fragrance?
Honestly, she made Michelle look like a... Yeah, she does. She made her look like a sissy sprayer, honestly. Yeah. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, I'll share that afterwards. What else have I worn this week? I've worn Blur Electrique again. Oh, it's completely gone from my mind. I might have to edit this because I've completely gone blank. I was going to name two fragrances and I've completely gone blank from it.
Well, shall I do mine and maybe they'll come to you while I'm talking? You do, right. Yes. Okay, so I have been, I wore Absolutio from Navitas Parfums, which is sort of like Oud for Greatness, but it's got a bit of toffee apple in there. I wore that on Bonfire Night. It was the night after I wore that because on Bonfire Night I wore Herod.
Nice.
Yes, yeah, I know you love that one, George. In our battle video that we did between Herod and Carlisle, wasn't it?
And Carlisle destroyed Herod. Bizarre.
It did. And I also, I've got to theme my scents when I go and watch a movie. It's sort of so hard to choose what's a bloody wear. You think, well, all right, what's going to tie in with the film I'm watching? It's very sad way of doing it, but I thought, why the hell not? So I wore a zoologist camel for watching Dune. Because
we know all just
don't make sandworms, so I thought I'll go with the next best desert dwelling beast, and that was camel.
That's amazing.
I'm really loving Maverick from Aaron Terrence Hughes. It's a really nice, sort of easy to wear oriental fragrance, so that's working well at this time of year. And you know, I have a soft spot. It's a Nasamato fragrance that is one of the lesser talked about ones, but I have a real soft spot for it, and it's Duro.
Are you kidding? I love Duro.
Oh, I love Duro. Yeah, oh, it's an amazing fragrance. It's quite potent, and it's got sort of a sharp medicinal smell to it. But there's something about it that I just love it. Like when you're wearing Duro, you feel like you can just take on anything. It just makes you feel like the boss.
Eons ago. Many, many years before Jeremy Fragrance even had a channel. There was a Fragcon before Jeremy Fragrance. Some people are just going to, they wouldn't be able to fathom that. But many, yeah. many years ago, Duro was actually one of the most popular Nasamatos.
Right.
So it's nice that at least one person is still carrying the torch.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. I think I love the Nasamatos. I've been trying a few more of the Auto Parazes recently as well. Mm. I'm actually wearing the new one right now. Qoium or something it's called. It's a leather fragrance. Wow, it's a beauty. Loving it. That's what I've been wearing. Steve, as your mind unblanked.
I don't know why I went blank on it for some whatever reason. I could picture the bottles, but I couldn't think of the name quite. And it's not even anything particularly exciting. I was going to say I wore Armani Code Profumo one day and then Absolut the next day. And as much as I love Code Profumo, I still think Absolut is my preference on those two. You know. I don't know. George, what's your favourite code, Armani code? Have you tried many of the flankers?
Sorry to be boring, but the original just still does it for me. It still does it for me. I think Profumo's great, but Profumo's kind of like if you put By the Fireplace by Maison Margiela into an Armani code bottle. And so I kind of like it. I tried to buy gold, and it just smelled like solid caramel popcorn.
I haven't tried Absolut Gold yet.
It just didn't really work for me. Yeah.
I really do. I think I just prefer Absolut. Just right in the deep dry down. Code Profumo gets a little bit. And I just
love them both, but for me, I think Profumo just edges it for me.
Fair play.
Yeah. All right. So that's what we've been wearing. So I think maybe it's time to dive into the arse.
Yes, that is our audience recognition section. Yeah, it's basically like a carry-on film, George. It's like carry-on fragrances for anybody that remembers those classic movies.
I had a marathon of those like 4 years ago, actually. So carry-on sniffing. Yeah.
Yes. I think we did reference where Mr. Smelly's some of his videos are like getting like a carry-on film, but
yeah.
Anyway, Barry, I'm trying to think which. Yeah, so Barry said, "Great show this week, chaps. A great weekend too with some fab people. Although I still can't get the image floating about in my head of Kev from Mosey Sense, an image of him naked. My scent of the evening was from Al Haramain, and it was called a solitaire. So I don't know if you remember, Chris, we couldn't quite hear it." Sound clip.
Yeah,
we heard it as an Al Haramain fragrance, but we couldn't hear, so he was wearing solitaire. So there you go, that's that one. Javier said, "Oh my god, I'm catching up today and couldn't resist commenting. I'm literally laughing my ass off with Kev's stories. So some great fun went on that night. Great show as always, guys. Much love from here." So big shout out to Javier.
Yeah. George, we should probably tell George, just in case he didn't get a chance to listen to last week's podcast, but there was a story that happened to Kevin from Merseysense the morning after we'd been to Nick's club, the Piano Works. Mm. Kevin went back to the hotel and he was, you know, pretty drunk, shall we say, and he got up in the middle of the night, wee hours of the morning, I think, four a wee. But he used the wrong door. He used his hotel room door, so he went out into the corridor and sadly the door locked behind him and didn't have any clothes on.
Oh no,
he was stark as, absolutely
what
stark
an absolute
as.
Nightmare.
So he had to somehow get to reception naked, walking past the restaurant with no clothes on to get back into his room. We need Kevin on as a guest. We do need him on as a guest.
Somebody said that. Somebody
said recount that story for us from his own perspective.
What an absolute shame.
It was, yeah.
What a legend he is.
We're still trying to find that hotel CCTV footage to...
Jesus.
Nick said that, actually. Nick posted a comment in the Facebook group saying, "An absolute pleasure hosting everyone this week. I'm brilliant to meet so many of you in person, and obviously great to catch up with those that I met before. I'll reach out to the hotel and see if I can get a bit of CCTV of Kev's ass. I'm glad everyone made it home in the end. Much love to everyone." And he put in brackets, "Steve, I love you too." So there we go. I probably told him I loved him. I told him I loved him that night.
Nigel from Two Centsworth, he in his live coming up on Friday, he's claiming he has footage of a naked Kevin on the CCTV.
That's going to be amazing.
That we'll have to see what Nigel's managed to get hold of. Tune in to Two Centsworth live Friday night.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Right. You reached out to the audience members as well, didn't you, Chris?
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to. Obviously, I know pretty much everything about George, so I don't really need to ask him any questions. So I thought I would put it out there to you guys, to our listeners, and many of you. It was only 24 hours ago, and there's been quite a few people commenting. So we're just going to go through a few of these comments, and that's going to sort of spark us off on a few questions to George. So George, are you up for this? Are you ready for our audience?
I'm just
audience?
Surprised that anybody was interested, really. It's very good of them. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, we have a regular commenter here, Harley Unruh.
Right.
So he says his sort of question is, he just announced recently that we have 100 videos left with him.
My goodness.
Can he speak to what is to follow, or if he will be present on YouTube at all? I'm going to miss that gentleman if he literally leaves forever. And I said it like that because he's done a little face with a tear on it.
Right.
So Harley's going to be beside himself, George.
What an easy question for me to answer. Yeah. Oh man, you know, this has been an absolute. I get comments all the time, very lovingly, when people say, "You deserve more subscribers," but what I want to say to all of them is, you should have seen my face when I got 100 subscribers. I might as well have got a million. Mm-hmm. I thought 100 people wanting to listen to me. And I remember thinking, okay, well, the absolute maximum I'll ever get, because this is the early stages of Fragcom, this is Fragcom in its infancy. I thought the maximum I'm ever going to get is 5,000 subscribers. Yeah. If I get 5,000 subscribers, I'll have made it. This project, this Fragrance Apprentice thing, has it is absolutely overseeded every expectation I could have ever had of it. And that's not me just sort of talking out my arse. I mean, really, like, when I got 5,000, I thought, my God, I'm over the moon. I'm now looking at 50,000 going, you know what, that's doable.
Yeah.
Right? I own some of the greatest fragrances in the world, and I love it. But as an artist, I always think to myself, you've also got to know the ending. And I've had YouTubers who I've followed, who I've really loved and really greatly enjoyed, and then they're gone. No goodbye, no nothing. I don't know if they're going to upload or not. And I remember thinking about 2 or 3 years ago, this can't last forever. I've got other things I want to do. And the audience that I have got, I want to give them an ending. I want to give them closure.
Yeah.
And so...
You owe it to them, yeah. You feel that.
I do. And, you know, like, I think if something doesn't end properly, for me personally, it really bothers me.
Yeah.
It really, really does bother me. I like finalization. And, you know, there's so many different projects. I mean, there's so many TV series, Chris, that you and I love that get cancelled. And, like, the OA. What
the OA,
the,
I was
the
just
OA,
say.
Yeah, what yeah. the most insane cliffhangers ever, ever that I've ever seen on television. Cancelled.
We'll never see it.
Again. Never see that third season, which would have been probably one of the most imaginative and fascinating third seasons of Netflix television ever. So, I remember thinking with season 6, I mean, people have been like, "This wait, it's a countdown? There was a countdown since the first video, L'Instant de Girl à No Extrême, number 166 in Roman numerals. It's been a Roman numeral countdown." And everybody's been like, one of my favourite things was somebody said, "I think the Roman numerals are just there to look artsy." I'm like, no, there is a purpose. So, I don't want to say too much, but when this does come to an end, I want it to be an ending that is correct and right and makes it so that when that ending happens, people go, you know what? I'm okay with that. I don't want any more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, nothing lasts forever, does it?
So, no.
You know, things have to come to an end at some point. And if you've got control over when it ends, then you may as well do it in your way and do it right, like you said. So I get that.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, so...
No, Steve, do you have thoughts?
The one thing I did want to say is I that was a lovely, genuine moment, and I just hope the fucking next door's barking dog that I can hear in my ears didn't pick up on the microphone. Because I was trying to concentrate, and all I could hear was this fucking dog, and I was thinking, I'm going to wring its neck in a minute. But I didn't want to break that little moment that you were like, talking there.
That's like, brilliant.
You might just hear George, like, it will just finish, and then in the background you hear me, like, murdering some dog, and, like, it's just, like...
That's actually the countdown. That's when, at the end of the countdown, Steve just loses it.
There we go. It's still going now. It's fucking amazing. Thing. I'm going to go punch it. Oh, no, I'm not going to punch it.
I'm just waiting for our next-door neighbours to start the biggest fireworks display in all of Yorkshire at any moment.
Yeah, because
it's been going off all night, yeah.
Yeah.
But in response to that, I totally get what you're saying, George. It's nice. And also, you sort of want to go out on a high rather than sort of dragging it on or petering out on a bit of a low. It's just kind of finish on a high and finish under your terms is sort of like a phrase that people often say as well, don't they? You know, I want to finish under my terms and do a high.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Obviously, you've always said that your Millesim Imperial review will be your last ever video, so it'll be interesting to see if that is
that's what happens. Yeah,
it's gonna be that moment as well, if or when you know that happens, and people see your face on the thumbnail with a Millesim Imperial review, as that they'll be like, oh shit, it's just like the reaction. It'd be great to say, like, it's happening.
It's so crazy out, so. Because, you know, I didn't know if that would stick. That was something that I started saying about 3 or 4 years ago, because that was you know, true, and it's got to be. I mean, when, you know, I know what the Millesim Imperial review is. I've known for 3 years what that video is going to be like, and it's never changed. That's what's great about it. Lot has happened in these 3 years, but it's never changed in my mind what it's supposed to look like and how it's supposed to be. And it became a thing. I can't believe it. I'll get nasty comments. I'll be like, when are you reviewing Melissa Imperiale? You know what I mean? Like, chop, chop, like, get on with it. You know, but like, even when I see that, like a negative comment, I'm like, oh my God, they know. They're aware, you know, so it's crazy.
George, I know you mentioned to me that you're really enjoying The Fragrance Apprentice at the moment. And I think there has been periods where you haven't uploaded. So would you say that you've sort of fallen in and out of love with the channel, with the character? And one thing that I think you do that no one else does is you're always reinventing yourself. You're like the Doctor Who of fragrance YouTubers, because I think your on-camera image has changed quite a number of times. And we currently have the latest iteration, which I am loving, by the way. Yeah. I'm loving the slick black hair. I'm loving the mustard polo neck. So I mean, yeah, I feel like, is this now the Fragrance Apprentice that will take us to the end, or will there be more regenerations before that time comes? Just talk us through how you feel about the Fragrance Apprentice over the years, and the sort of different versions of the Fragrance Apprentice that we've had.
Well, in 20 years' time, I'm going to be writing a book called 101 Life Lessons That Professional Wrestling Taught Me. And I'm serious. I have learned so much. I've already told you this. I have learned so much about life, about business, about art, about so many things from pro wrestling. Like, I could have a serious conversation with you. And there are two lessons that I'm going to pull from my 101. The first one is, if you are going to retire, actually bloody retire. Because I've seen so many pro wrestlers who go, they make a big show of it. This is it. This is my last match. And then they come back. And it destroys everything. And the second one is, the moment that you feel as though you're being stale, the audience knows that you're stale. Right? And so, The Undertaker and Doctor Who, both big sort of inspirations of my childhood, they changed all the time, and it was uncomfortable. And The Undertaker, this incredible character, incredible gentleman by the name of Mark Calloway, he went through iterations. And I think it's because you've got to do that, because you've got to be honest with yourself, because you as a person change. But two, you want to keep the audience on their toes. You want to keep them, you know, sort of not guessing, but you've got to show that there's progression here. And when I was young, I was just trying to be every YouTuber ever. You know, you look at those early videos and I'm this very, very, hey guys, welcome back to, you know, Fragrance Apprentice. Oh my God, I'm going to, and I just wanted to be, you know, every YouTuber, and every YouTuber is this sort of over the top, positive, nothing can touch them kind of character. But I think that the thing that really inspired the Fragrance Apprentice's, excuse me, direction was a stand-up comic called Stuart Lee.
Yeah.
And I saw his stuff, and his stuff is this kind of like labored, he's like a stand-up comic, but he thinks that he's better than it, and that's his character. And I sort of wanted to do that with the Fragrance. I thought that's so freaking cool and bizarre. And so that's kind of like season five is when that started. And I started getting a little bit more experimental. And then this year, I have always loved Victorian clothing. Always loved that Doctor Who thing. And I went, I really want to bring that to the table. And then I became, as I've been affectionately known, as the Victorian Hobbit version of the Fragrance Apprentice. Which at first was sort of a slight against me, but then I thought, no, that checks out. no, that's fine. It's been a change of recently, you know, I've got my shit together. And I've had to grow up a lot this year, especially with, you know, being in the hospital for nearly a whole month. That changed my perspective on a few things. Oh, there's my motorbike to go along with your dogs. And I remember looking, when I started like really slimming down, I went, well, you've now got a jawline, you might as well use it. You know, you might as well show it off. And so I wanted to shave, and I went, you know what, I want to have black hair, because my dad has black hair. And so I thought, well, genetically speaking, it'll work out, because I should look as though I suit black hair. And so I dyed my hair black, shaved everything. I thought, God, this is such a massive change. And I went, no, this is it. This is what I want to be. I'd been the Victorian sort of cutesy hobbit, but I was like, no, I want to be a bloke and a fully grown man. I think that there's maybe one last sort of look before the 100 videos come to an end, so I'll just tell you my plan. I've got basically from video 99 all the way to 11, they're going to be, you know, table videos and going out and stuff like that, but the final 10 are going to be some of the most epic videos Fragcom has ever seen. I'm going to go all out. Those final 10, and there'll be months in between the uploads of those final 10. Okay. I want them to be movies.
Big project. Right.
Yeah. I want them to be films. Yeah.
I didn't know that. Wow, that is very interesting. Ah, okay. Mm. Well, okay. Should we go through a few of the other questions that are in there, Steve? Yeah. Do you want to jump on one?
I was gonna do them in order, but I'm going to jump out of sync now, purely because something that you mentioned earlier, this links perfectly. So Matt from the channel Questioning Sense said, can you ask him who is the best comedian from the UK and what fragrance do you think he should wear?
Right, well, me and Matt are both Stuart Lee fans, and we talk about Stuart Lee a lot. So yeah, he'd probably think that he's too good for it, fragrance. He would be completely disinterested in fragrances with Stuart Lee. I've met him actually twice, and I don't think he would care at all. But I would actually say probably, I mean, I could make the obvious joke. He did a joke about pear cider one time, and so, like, anything that has pear in it. But if I was to be serious, probably Colonia Intensa. I think he'd really enjoy Colonia Intensa. That, he's got that sort of vibe about him. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, good one.
Good shout.
Great. All right, well, I'll pick one out from here. It's from Jason, and Jason says, I've noticed he craps on Lamal and previously hated, in capital letters, hated Lamal Le Parfum, and it has since grown on him. How has his dislike of Lamal and other fragrances affected me, Chris, your... God, I'm going to start that again. How has it affected our friendship, basically, George?
What?
I'll just sort of kick this off by saying that our friendship's been tested, but you've come to your senses and you've coming around to Lamal Le Parfum because you know that you don't want to lose me as a friend, George.
That's the only reason why I'm liking it. That's it. Well, in general, we agree on most things.
Yeah, I think so.
Which is good. And there'll be some... I think that Lamal Le Parfum is the only fragrance where you've really liked it and I've really not liked it.
Yeah.
We do also have one that's different. I love A City on Fire. Like, it's bloody brilliant. But
I appreciate it. I think it's a really nicely done fragrance, but I think it's a little too smoky for me to sort of go out and wear. It reminds me of smoked barbecued frankfurters.
Oh no, I love it. I wear it a lot. So the thing is that Lamal Le Parfum, I really didn't like. And then I was wearing it one time, and my girlfriend said, "Wow, I really like that." And as soon as your girlfriend says that, you have to start change. You know,
it's amazing
your mindset.
What that can
it's
do
incredible.
To you.
And I was like, "Have I got this wrong?" No, I just kind of I get it a bit more. And I did. I really didn't like it, but like, it's tough because my opinion can change. It doesn't change too much, but people can freak out if you change your opinion online. They're like, well, what does that mean? Does that mean what, should I trust anything that you're saying? And I'm like, yeah, just my opinion changed a little bit. My mind changed. 99% of all my fragrance opinions I've ever had have never changed. But there are certain times where something like La Mer Le Parfum, I just kind of get it more. And I've worn it a little bit more since then. But I don't reach out for it like on a consistent basis. Mm. I just like it more. Like I get it a bit more. So yeah.
Well, good. We're still friends then. So
great.
That's excellent.
It's, yep. It's, I was just going to make a sort of comment/observation. You probably get this a lot, Joel. When any video like that where you sort of show passionate, particularly if you show disdain or hatred towards a fragrance, it's funny. And I got that with the Le Parfum, actually, the Nourrit de l'Homme. I got a lot of sort of dislikes on that video, relatively speaking. Mm. But obviously, it's quite clickbaity. I, you know, purposely said, you know, don't buy this. And I'm actually on your sort of landing page now for your YouTube channel. For the thumbnail, you've actually put over that Le Mer Le Parfum is like, you've just put awful in inverted commas. Yeah, and it's like, you know, I really don't like this Le Mer Le Parfum, sorry. And it's just what it stands out is most of your videos, because it shows a little percentage of the sort of likes to dislike ratio, most of them are all sort of 99-98%, which are fairly standard if your people are following you, obviously, they sort of support you. And it's that classic thing with that video is got 88%, which is still good, you know what I mean? But it's just that classic thing. If you show any sort of, you can't win, because people moan, like, you know, you can't like everything, you know, be honest and, you know, don't be a shill and blah, 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 whatever. The moment we actually show that you don't like something, people are like, well, you're wrong. You're fucking wrong. I don't like this video. It's just, you can't win, can you, as a YouTuber?
Well,
you just can't do it.
As soon as I've only got 99 videos left, I'm going to say something very openly here. Fragcom is not very interested in listening to negative reviews, which is as opposed to the film and TV reviewing circuit on YouTube, that if you actually give anything a positive review, if you give the new Star Wars a positive review, you're disliked out of the building, you know, which is bizarre. Like, if you haven't done, like, with the film thing, with, like, say, The Last Jedi, if you haven't done a 3-hour epic video essay monologue about how every single lighting choice and every single frame was an absolute, you know, disaster of cinema, then you'll get dislikes. So it's really weirdly topsy-turvy. I see more film and TV channels that if they do positive reviews about things, they'll get dislikes. So Fragcom's a little bit bizarre in that way. But it's not good, because you can't like everything. And I recently did 10 fragrances I forbid you to buy. But one of the ways that I tempered that is just by making it funny and making it an amusing video, so people can, you know, what I said there was all very serious recommendations of not buying certain things, but I made it amusing so people can sort of feel a little bit more comfortable about it.
Yeah, what was it you were saying about people who paid full retail for Viking cologne?
Well, I did tell you, I did forbid you. Well, the police have been called. Let's just put it that way. They're on their way to your house.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It was the price I paid was worth the views I got on that video. So, you know.
dude, I've got to. I'm going to get you Baldur Serini Ultimate for Christmas, and you'll never need Viking cologne again.
All right, sounds good. Sounds good to me. Yeah. Okay. Where are we? Yeah, should we do some more questions?
Here's one. I'm sure George has got an opinion on this. So Scott says, a question for all three of us. What the fuck is up with Amberwood being in nearly everything these days? And how do you and nearly everyone else like these frags? It's all I could smell when it's in a formula, if there's nothing else in it. From cheapies to niche, it's all the same. Red tobacco is just one of the countless examples. So how do you feel about Amberwood, George?
I think that it's fine. You know, it is in everything. and it's so silly. That's kind of like going back to the 1990s and asking what my thoughts are about lavender or something. You know, it's a note. It's a very popular note. It's a very popular accord. It is what it is, and lots of people like it, and it's fine. It's don't be stressed.
Yeah, don't take it so seriously. Don't take it personally,
don't be,
man.
Scott's maybe become hypersensitive towards Amberwood. I'm going to be honest. I can't just conjure in my mind the scent profile of Amberwood. I can't. I think maybe we smelled it when we did that perfume making with Aaron George. We might have smelled
it. I smell it quite a bit in some of the Bleu de Chanel's.
Yeah, I mean, I've got an idea of what it is, but it's like an ambery woody type of smell, isn't it?
Aquitogio Absolute. That's amazing. I kind of get the Amberwood in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I've got to say, personally, it's not a note that I seem overly sensitive to, and certainly not to the point where I smell it and go, oh no, another Amberwood fragrance. So I'm good with it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I agree with that. I agree with both of what you said. For me, it's not an issue. I sort of typically quite like it. I'm a bit of a basic bitch, so I like that sort of smoothness that you get from Amberwood. It just adds a little sort of pleasant accord to it.
You know,
fragrance.
it's so
safe, isn't it?
My favourite thing about it is it's just so woody and so ambery. You know, it's just great.
Well played.
Yeah,
well said. All right, moving on then. Next one, we've got one here from our good friend Melissa. Like we said, she's got a special little icon next to her name.
Okay, right. Well, originals
founding member.
Yes. The pressure's on then.
Right, a couple of questions within this one, so we'll sort of try and do them fairly quick fire. Right, for all of you, endless love or endless money? Steve, what do you think? Endless love or endless money?
Oh, see, I've read this, and you know what? I'm going to sound like a right shallow, but I thought I'd go for endless money. It depends.
I'm going endless money too.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for backing me up on that. Because I just thought, I don't know if they're mutually exclusive on this question, because I thought you could, if I'm rich, I could probably find endless love. You know, that's
you can
a possibility.
Buy some love, yeah.
But I'm not going to find endless money. And people say that money can't buy happiness. And I think, well, I'd rather cry in a Ferrari than a clapped out Escort or something. So yeah, I'm going for money.
George?
I think that both your answers are absolutely preposterous. Endless love.
Yeah. I mean, that's obviously the right
answer.
Whoa!
That's
the correct answer.
Let me give you the reason.
Go on.
You know, I've had a lot of money before in my life. When I was working very, very hard, I had, for a 21-year-old, like a good amount of money. But I was just stressed working all the time. And so I've had that. And I've been virtually broke, but been in a really good place in my life. And I preferred that.
Right.
And not just that, but if you have endless love, and that fuels you and that powers you. Sorry, this is me getting into my sort of Alan Watts, Ram Dass, Zen spiritualism here. But like, if you have endless love, then you'll have power and energy to make a lot of money doing what you want. Surely.
Yeah. Well, I get that.
I think you can use endless money to create a lot of happiness, I think, for other people as well. Because I think I would...
I've met people who are like super...
Quick fire this was, Chris.
I've met people... I remember one guy who was actually the head of a fragrance house. And he was a millionaire. He was absolutely like miserable, absolutely a miserable human being. And you know, you can have all the money and you can have the Ferrari and stuff like that, but like you need the love. That's your fuel.
Yeah, I'm going to get a little bit pedantic here to back up my answer. And it says endless love. It doesn't say no love. So if I can have enough love in my life, might not be endless, but if I've got enough love in my life and then endless money, I think I'm good.
Okay, buddy.
Well played.
All right, let's do another one. If you could have dinner with anyone, dead or alive, I'd probably want dinner with someone who's alive, if I'm honest. Wouldn't be much fun having someone who's dead for dinner. Who would it be and why? George.
Groucho Marx. Mm. Groucho Marx,
because
that would just be fantastic.
So he is dead, isn't he?
He is dead, yeah. He died quite a while ago, Chris. I'd like him
alive. Boring conversation.
No, I'd like him alive if we could just...
Okay, right. Okay. Groucho Marx alive.
I'd use my power of having endless love to resuscitate him.
Okay, yeah, that'd work, yeah.
And, yeah.
Go on. Yeah, and Groucho Marx. Steve, who would you have dinner with?
I didn't think about this beforehand, so I'm sort of just riffing a little bit. I tell you who... who I think is a really interesting person and character, Ricky Gervais. If you love him, hate his comedy or whatever, I think I just find him really interesting. He's got a lot of interesting beliefs with his atheism, his comedy. But then I tell you, there's a story he told on his podcast once, which I found is quite almost motivational in a stupid kind of way. He said once about this sort of jokey story about how him and his missus had these old curtains, these like silk curtains or whatever they were. And he was going to, his missus was going to just get rid of them. He's like, no, don't do that. I'm going to make a suit out of them. And he decided to make a suit out of these curtains. And he said, like, basically he didn't think about it, didn't know what he was doing really, but he sort of just lay down on it, like drew round his legs to like to cut, did that twice, and obviously left no reference to like for the depth of the legs, so they were like really tight trousers, and then the material left over was just like there was not enough, so he just used it as a cape. And Stephen Merchant said to him, like, what the fuck were you doing? Why did you think you could make a suit? And it was just a nice thing where he goes, well, back then he just thought, well, I didn't think there was anything I couldn't do. Why couldn't I do it? Other people do it. I didn't think why yeah. You know, there was nothing that I didn't think I couldn't do, and I just, that really stuck with me. It's a really stupid story, but I thought it's such a sort of nice attitude towards life, really. It's like, why can't you, other people do it, sort of thing.
I think so, there'd be plenty of conversation, and he's got a very infectious, raucous laugh, so I think he'd be a good to have to anyway.
So that's what I'd go for.
I'm going to say my wife. Because we don't get a chance to really go out for dinner that much these days. We're so busy. So
with that endless money, mate, you could treat her to a really nice meal, couldn't you?
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, if I was going to go for someone famous, I think I'd go with Leonardo DiCaprio, maybe, because I think he's an interesting character. I'd love to obviously talk to him about the process of acting, because I think he probably has quite an interesting process based on the characters he plays. But I reckon he'd also be up for an absolutely massive night out after as well. So,
it's a good shout. Leo. Good shout.
Yeah. Should we do any more questions? Do you want to...
I'm just skimming now. I think we have to shout out Brandon because he's just a big follower, and I think George, this could probably be quite a quick question, because I'm sure George will know the answer. Brandon says, all right, George, let's talk single malts. What region in Scotland do you prefer, and what's your favourite dram? What would you scent it with?
I'm actually thinking of doing a top 10 whiskies video one time, just for shits and giggles.
Do it, man.
I do really enjoy some Speyside, which is quite light and floral and very nice. Ela, me and Chris learned all this. When we went to that whiskey bar in Edinburgh, they showed you the map and everything. My favourite dram, kind of giving everything away here, if I was to do a top 10 whiskey list, is Isle of Arran, port cask finish. That is too delicious, and the problem is it's so bloody smooth that you just drink a shot of it and you're like, oh, that was all right, and there's no burn, and there's nothing horrible. It's very sweet, it's lovely, it's like a dessert. And I've accidentally had like four of those in a sitting, and you know, it's heavy stuff, and I've got very, very drunk on that stuff very easily, so be careful, I warn you. But it's great, absolutely delicious. So there you go.
And then fragrance, what would you...
I don't know if...
What you scent it with?
Pure Malt's too obvious.
It's a good one, though.
Yeah, it is. Wrong. I don't know, actually, with something like that... Oh, you know what? Oud Satin Mood.
Choice.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily have to... Because you would think, oh... Is it going to be a whiskey fragrance? But no, it doesn't.
No.
Maybe the contrast is better.
Yeah. No, yeah. Well, Oud Satin Mood's got that vanilla, and Isle of Arran is just a big-time heavy vanilla whiskey. So you've got the oud and the rose in Francis Kurjan's Oud Satin Mood, and you've got the vanilla and the port and the whiskey. So yeah, that would be my choice.
Great. Brilliant. George, are you familiar with the TV programme Toast of London?
Yeah, very much.
So I love it. Chris Carter has asked you to, if you can scent Stephen Toast Ray Purchase and Clem Fandango.
You know, Clem Fandango was in Discovery as well.
Yeah,
he?
I do. Yeah, I mean, what a difference in those roles.
Bizarre,
wow, yeah.
Bizarre. Toast. Oh, it would be. It would. I actually think it would be something like Memoirs of a Trespasser by imaginary authors,
right?
Because it's. Memoirs of a Trespasser to me is almost disheveled, but it's not, because it's got like that bookstore kind of smell.
Yeah,
Ray Purchase would just have to be Kuros by Yves Saint Laurent. It just have to be. Yeah, like that's have a good to one. Be it.
Yeah,
And I think that Clem Fandango would be something that he thinks is kind of trendy, but isn't actually very trendy at all. Something like, I don't know. Like a Lacoste fragrance or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the costs.
So Chris has thrown in what he would say. For Toast, he would go for Vintage Brute.
Of course.
And for Purchase, he'd go Viking Cologne.
Oh, God. Mm. Wow.
And for Fandango, he's going Invictus.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think, if I'm right, unless you can see any more, Steve, I think that's pretty much...
I think that's pretty much everyone, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So there we go. So
it was a massive response, and you only asked people yesterday, so...
Yeah, so thank you to everybody.
You were
thank
you clearly very
a
much.
Very popular guest, George. People were very excited, because there was lots of other comments of people sort of saying, yes, excellent, can't wait, or whatever as well. So.
God, well, I hope I haven't disappointed.
Absolutely not. No. It's been great. Great to have you on. We're pushing an hour now.
Man.
So we'll probably wrap up soon. I'm just interested, though, George. I don't know if I've ever asked you this, and I know Steve have talked about recently that we sort of watch, we don't watch as many fragrance videos these days. We watch other YouTube videos, though. I watch a lot of, like, you know, tech cinematic channels. What is your current favourite YouTube channel, do you think, if you've got one? Can be fragrance or otherwise.
My God, you might have to just let me look at my YouTube for a minute, because I don't
see
know.
What you've been watching.
Yeah. Because that no, there is
like oh, is the well, one each week that you look
oh, well,
forward to.
Like,
when they
yes,
drop it.
I love Yes Theory.
Yeah.
I absolutely love Yes Theory, and me and you have talked about that before.
Yeah.
We love Yes Theory. Sorry, you went completely completely muted there. I accidentally completely muted you there for a minute. Let's see. You can still hear me, can't you?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Let me just have a
look. Yes Theory.
I love Yes Theory. What else is there? I do kind of like Mr. Beast. I think he's kind of cool.
Yeah, I like a bit of the Beast.
Mostly, I do also enjoy... there's this one guy, he stopped uploading, and actually this is the guy that... that made me really want to sort of just give my audience an ending, because he didn't give me an ending. And that's Alfie Aesthetics. He's a bushcraft YouTuber.
Oh.
And his stuff is just so cool. And he knows so much about nature, and he does camping, and he gives you camping survival tips. And I want to get more into camping. I really do.
Right.
Especially since we are hoping to move to Scotland.
Yeah.
And you can camp anywhere that you want.
Yes, as I've done.
Yeah. Dude, we should go camping one time. That'd be great.
We should. Oh, yeah, absolutely we should. It's, be great. Get
I mean,
some non-alcoholic
that's a vlog that everybody wants
vlog.
To see.
Yeah. Brilliant. Steve, is there anything else you want, you'd like to ask George?
I don't think so.
I was just going to sort of go with the obvious, just to sort of round everything off, really. And, you know, how do you feel, and this, is, I guess, could be a long answer, but, we don't want to
try
go
and keep it
for
quiet.
Too long. But what do you think about the current state of the fragrance YouTube community, the videos that are getting put out there at the moment? Do you think it's getting better, the more people that are coming into it? Or do you think that things are sort of... sliding into the lowest common denominator territory?
Well, you have two options here. I can give you my polite answer, or I can give you my real answer.
Well, I mean, go real. if you're prepared to.
If I'd come into this fragrance community as it is now, I wouldn't have started a channel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just I don't want to be a rose-tinted old man, you know, yells at fragrance cloud. You know, I just think there's too much now. And I think it's just confusing. I think that it's becoming like the fitness YouTube industry, where there's, like, fragrance is simple. It's really, really simple. And it's really, really straightforward in one way. And when one of the reasons why I kept never losing weight is because I kept watching endless, endless, endless fitness YouTubers who would give me so much information and different information and different information. Yeah. And, oh, you're not doing this right, you're not doing that right, you're not doing this right. And you feel completely sort of, like, overwhelmed. Until in the end I just went, okay, why don't I just try and eat as healthy as possible as I know that to be? And, you know, also try and eat foods that won't heighten my insulin, all that kind of stuff. And then, bang, weight loss started. There's so much fragrance content out there that it just doesn't, it just looks intimidating.
Yeah.
And it just looks as though everybody is fighting sort of for attention. And I don't like it. It's not my thing anymore.
Yeah, I must admit, it does feel a little bit like that. You know, it's, I mean, in a way, maybe it's good because it could get people to innovate. I think you're one of the best innovators in the YouTube fragrance world. I think your videos are probably the most creative and thought out. I mean, you've come up with so many different ideas. And I'm not just talking about your cinematics. I'm talking about, you know, the chat roulette videos, you know, those sort of ideas that no one would ever think of doing, but you've done them.
I've got a question to finish off and continue what you're saying there. So, George, obviously you're known for being an innovator, as Chris said, and you've created some absolutely amazing videos, either being unique or like cinematographically. Yeah, I was going to say that.
That's a good word. That's the word.
In many different ways, you've created some great videos. So, but which one video are you most proud of to date? I mean, I'm sure it sounds like you've got some big ones coming, and particularly those last 10 may change your answer. But one video, if you had to pick, would you say you're most proud of?
Okay. This is a terrible answer, I'm sorry. But it's the Melissa Imperial review. I have seen it so many times in my head. I know every single shot, every single beat, every single moment. And if I can get it to exactly how I want it in my head, that's it. That is the video, and I haven't even shot a frame of it yet. But I have.
That is great promo, George. Brilliant.
Yeah. Like, but
lovely. Your publicist would be over the moon with that, wouldn't they? Yeah.
No, but like that. Like, I've actually watched that video in my head so many times, and by the end of it, I've gone, yeah, wow, okay, that's the one I'm most proud of, because it just sort of will hopefully it'll close everything. But as for videos that I've actually
made
and uploaded, I don't know, there's been a lot of great, you know, actually, maybe an obscure answer for some, but the summer video that I did this year, that really turned out about 5 to 6 times better than I imagined it.
Yeah,
and I watch that video every now and then. Great soundtrack, great movement. I don't know, though, I just felt as though to me, that was the quintessential Fragrance Apprentice video, and I'd hit my stride with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean, actually. It was really weird. It was a good way of doing a top 10 as well, because I don't particularly enjoy doing top 10 videos. I do them because it's sort of, you know, it's good for the channel. It's good for the channel growth, and it's good for the AdSense. And obviously, if it's part of your living, then you've got to have an eye on that. But I don't make videos that that I know are going to get massive views every time. I'll do listy type videos now and then, but I sort of balance it out with stuff that is a bit more gratifying to me. And I think, you know, you do the same thing as well.
Yeah.
But if you can sort of get a top 10 video done in a way that is a bit more enjoyable for you to do, then I think that's great. And that's what I think you're saying you did with that summer one.
And also, you know, probably for very special reasons, the Lidge video.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That definitely a very, a very memorable one. George, thank you for coming on the podcast. I knew this would probably go on for a little while. It has done, but you know, once we get chatting, but hopefully that's been of interest. I know there was definitely a lot of interest from our listeners to have you on the podcast. There was actually a few requests over the months to have you on. So it's been great. Before we go, Steve, is there anything you'd like to say to me, George, or the listeners?
No, I mean, obviously the request for George did come from his girlfriend and his mum, but other than that, it's... All I want to say is, with regard to the response you gave to your the video that you're most proud of, you did give an incorrect answer. Of course, the correct answer I was looking for was the Kisses Rain video, Rain Air Performance. If anybody hasn't watched that video, you've got to go and see it, because...
Have I not done anything since that? Like, this
no,
bothers
you have,
me. Have I not done
but,
anything
no,
since
you
then?
No, you have. But that, I just, it's just brilliant. It's just, you've done brilliant work. But for me, it's just, it's the cinematography is amazing, how you've actually created it. But then also, obviously, you talk so passionately about the fragrance. Yeah. And it's really informative as well. And it's one of those things, I think only people that are, you know, proper niche geeks. It's not a top 10 list. It's like I actually tried showing it to my missus once, and she was like, "Yeah, it's cool, but you know, it's boring, isn't it? I don't really get it." It wasn't her thing. She could see it visually; it looked cool, but she was like, "You know, he's just talking about it." She couldn't get excited about it for me. And I know Nigel will thank me for commenting on that, because Nigel loves it.
Yeah,
as
well,
so
the thing is I'll just say. You know, that video was a great thing, but it was also, for a period of time, a curse. Because it was like, yeah, it's not as good, you know, no matter what I do, like, not as good as the Kisses Rain video, though. Oh, fuck yeah. Not as good as the Kisses Rain video. And for I actually feel as though I had to really fight so hard to not be the Kisses Rain kid, right? Mm. And so, but now, like... people will say, oh, I mean, some people now, their favorite videos is the Chat Roulette video, which is wild. Yeah. So I have kind of like managed to get away from that. But I think, like, I mean, dude, I think that the Lidge video blows the Kisses Rain video away, in my opinion. I still love the Kisses Rain video. I'm very, very proud of it. But that Lidge video, I don't know. I mean, it made Chris cry, for crying out loud.
Yeah. I think the Kisses Rain video was so... different in terms of its aesthetic, and I think a lot of people discovered you through that video. I think that might have been the first video of yours that I saw.
That was perhaps back in 2017 as well, wasn't it? So again, that was quite a trailblazing video.
Back when reviews
a lot, you know.
Back when reviews got views, remember that?
That's the thing. That was, people weren't doing that sort of stuff back then. So that was quite a trailblazing video as well. So.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, boys, we're going to bring this home. Steve, thank you as always. Looking forward to chatting to you again next week. George, thank you for coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure, sir. I'm very pleased that we have your voice on our podcast now. Forever.
Finally, forever.
Yes, forever. So thank you for joining us, and we'll quit before your hard drive runs out and we don't get to save your voice file. So thanks very much, boys. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. We'll be here next week. Have a week, geeks.
Bye.
We were the same. Yeah.